Worship team is sounding awesome this morning, aren't they? At least they're sounding good to me. I love the acoustics in this room. Kevin was telling me it took some adjusting and some technical expertise for it to all work out, but it's sounding awesome to me, and I pray you were encouraged through the worship. Today, we're going to take a few minutes to talk about claiming the promises of God. Claiming the promises of God. And I'm looking forward to sharing this with you. So let's pray together, and then we'll get into our message. God and Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the way we're encouraged just a few minutes ago and hearing the teens share about how the camp and the preaching and the fellowship and the whole culture of camp impacted their lives and encouraged them. And I know that encouraged all of us. And Father, I pray that as a result of that, the camps, that our children would be drawn closer to you, that they would desire more than anything to love you, to know you, to live for you. Bless our time together today and help us to see how in better ways we can give you glory, how we can be pleasing in your sight. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be talking about claiming the promises of God. And over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And I don't know if we appreciate it or understand it to the degree that we should, but one of the greatest treasures we have in Christ are the promises of God. Because God is faithful. And God has made promise after promise to us as his children that he always fulfills, that he always comes through on. And I want us to not only appreciate those promises in a greater way today, but to understand practically how we can take hold of them in our lives. Here's some of the things that the Bible says about the nature of God. In Joshua 21, verse 44, it says, "Not one of all of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." God never let his people down. He never made a promise that he did not come through on. Joshua 23, verse 14, "You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed." And at that time, God had promised them that they would go into the promised land and that they would be victorious. And that promise came true to the very day that God promised it. In 1 Kings 8 and verse 56, the Bible says, "Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses." Not one. Not one promise failed. God, there's not one thing God has said that has not been true. Psalm 111, verse 7, it says, "The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy." When God says something, you can trust it. And as Hebrews 6:18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. He didn't say it was impossible for us to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Then when you read the Word of God, when you hear the promises of God, you can know with certainty that what God says is true. And in a world of uncertainty and duplicity, isn't it encouraging that we can rely on the Word of God? We can rely on the promises of God. We can trust the Word of God because God is faithful. And all his promises are true. And I pray that in our Christian life that we're claiming these promises? Are you claiming the promises of God for your life? They're there. You know, I've got my little treasure chest here today. And in this chest, I have written some of the promises of God. And we're going to pull a few of them out today. They'll be projected on the screen. But just for your visual reference, there are promises in this little box, and they're all true. They are treasure. Are you going to take hold of them? You know, every year, there are millions of dollars that are unclaimed in the lottery. Overall, there have been billions of dollars that have not been claimed by people who bought tickets for lottery. Data shows that there were 2.89 billion in unclaimed lottery prizes in the 12 months ending June of 2017. I mean, there were people who had won and never claimed the ticket. There were 167 prizes in 2017 that were worth $1 million or more that went unclaimed. People never turned the ticket in, never claimed the earnings that they had won. The oldest unclaimed ticket is $68 million that a winner in New York purchased on Christmas Eve of 2002. This person won $68 million, never claimed the ticket. They can't claim it now because the expiration has run out. Imagine that. There's a whole website called unclaimed.com that you can go on. And it shows all the unclaimed money that people have not received, whether it's life insurance or retirement accounts or savings accounts, CDs, stocks, bonds that are still out there that no one's claimed. You can even go on and look up your relatives' names and see what monies they are owed. Not that you'll be able to claim it if you, in some way you can't prove that you're their relative, but it's out there. Isn't that sad? But what's even more tragic are the promises of God that are given to us that we never claim. And so I want to encourage you today to claim the promises of God for your life. And there's so many amazing promises, you know, things that just come off the top of my head where Jesus promises us an abundant life. Are we claiming it? He promises us the forgiveness of sins. Are we claiming it? Now, he promises us power, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of self-discipline. Are we claiming it? It's there for our taking. And so let me just give you a few promises today that I think you need to claim. One is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Really, this is just a confirmation of what I said earlier. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are what in Christ Church? They are what? It's yes. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. This is how good our God is to us. That he doesn't make a promise and then say, no, I'm not going to give it to you. His promises are yes. According to one person's account, there are over 3,500 promises in the Bible. 3,500. And the answer to every promise that God has made for us is yes. We just need to claim it. So I want to talk about some promises we need to claim from God's treasure chest of promises. Number one, Mark 10. And really, this is blessing from trusting obedience in God. If you have trusting obedience in God, God makes a promise. This is the story of the rich young ruler. We know the story where he comes to Jesus and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus basically tells him, as was talked about in the communion just a few minutes by TJ, that you must give up everything you have and come follow me. And he was unwilling to do it. The Bible says he went away sad. His disciples asked, "Lord, if this guy can't be saved, then who then can be saved?" And Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Have you claimed this promise? Has God blessed you 100 times as much in this present age? A lot of times the reason that people don't become disciples is they're so concerned about what they have to give up. And they don't realize that on the other side, God will bless you beyond anything you have to give up. God doesn't ask you to give up anything that's going to keep you from glorifying Him. He only asks you to give up the things that will hurt you spiritually, that will hurt others, and that will keep you from getting to heaven. And at the top of that list is your own selfishness. Says you must deny yourself. You must surrender to me. And sometimes we just don't want to do it because we don't see how trusting and drawing near to God and following God is really incredible, and that God will bless you beyond anything that you would ever have to sacrifice. 100 times as much. And you think about Job and all that Job went through, and he lost his children and he lost his wealth and he went through physical adversity. But the Bible says in Job 42, verse 12, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. I know that God has blessed me so much more as a disciple than I could have ever been blessed in the world. And I'm not just talking about material blessings. I'm talking about the treasures in heaven that moth and rust cannot destroy, that thieves cannot break in and steal. Have you claimed this promise? You know, the Bible says that God will bless us with brothers and sisters. And I think about the relationships that God has blessed Cynthia and I with in our life. You know, we were sitting down with a couple in our living room just the other day talking about our marriages, talking about our children. And at the end of the conversation, we prayed together and we called on God to be with us. How many people have friends who will sit down with them and talk about the serious issues of their life and then go to God and ask Him for strength? You don't have that in the world. People don't want to know about all your garbage in the world. They're like, "Dude, please, I got enough trouble of my own." You think about brothers who are really brothers. You know, Cynthia and I moved to New York 31 years ago, and it seems as though everywhere we went, Derek and Lynn Clay were sure to follow. And, you know, he's been my little brother in the faith, and she's been my little sister in the faith. And we've not only been close, but they have lived in our house really longer than I wanted them to, until, you know, we had to ask them to move on. But that's family. That's family. And you think about people in your life, in this room, who are true brothers and sisters to you. We have conversation and interaction in the kingdom that we rarely even have with our own families. And we can't even go back and talk to some of our families about some of the real issues that are in our lives because they would never understand it. It's like, you know, I really want to talk to you about what I've been struggling with this week and what I've been trying to overcome and deal with in my heart. And they were like, "What? What are you talking about?" And you go to your family reunion and say, "Hey, everybody, can we have a time of thanksgiving and praising God and encouraging one another?" And they're going to look at you like, "Are you on drugs?" But in God's kingdom, you have true brothers and sisters. Can we praise God for that? 100 times as much. So he not only gives us brothers and sisters, but he gives us children. Your children are my children. Their accomplishments give me joy. Their struggles, I feel their struggles. We know what's going on in one another's children's lives. And we feel their pain when they go through times of difficulty. But when they graduate, we feel like one of our kids has graduated. When they're baptized into Christ, man, we're experiencing the same joy as if one of our own children were baptized into Christ. You know, when my daughter got married, all of you were there. It was like one of your daughters were getting married, except I paid for it and you didn't. That was the only difference. But you shared in the joy and you shared in the food and you shared in the fellowship. You can also share in the cost, or you could have if you wanted to. And you think about homes. And you think about people that God has blessed us to live with, people who lived in our homes. You know, for a long time, Bobette was like one of our older daughters living in the Powell home, helping us raise our children. Where do you find that? I've been given 100 times as much. And God has overwhelmed me with his blessings. Are you claiming that blessing? Now, you can be in a big church like this and still be lonely. And not realize the blessings that God has given you throughout the whole world. You know, a couple of years ago, I went to Nigeria. I didn't stay in a hotel. I stayed in the home of disciples who took great care of me. Brothers and sisters who treated me like their own flesh and blood. 100 times as much. And yes, he does add persecutions. But are you claiming this promise, church? Are you receiving the blessings of God in your life? Is theirs, is yours there for the taking? But not if you're selfish. Not if you're trying to live on both sides of the fence. Not if you're still trying to hold on to the world and still receive all the blessings of God. Remember, he says, no one who has left the world will fail to receive 100 times as much. Claim that promise. Promise number two. 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is one of my favorite scriptures in all the world. The promise of deliverance from temptation. Do we need this promise? He says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. What an amazing promise! Are we claiming it? The Message version says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. In other words, whatever you're going through, other people have had to go through. There's not no temptation that sees you except what is common to man. Sometimes we think nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody's been where I'm at. Nobody's feeling what I'm feeling. No one's having the trials that I'm having. No, not true. And if you think no one else has, then look to Jesus, because he was tempted in every way just as we were, and yet was without sin. So whatever you're going through, somebody in here can relate to it. He says, it goes on and says, all you need to remember is that God will never let you down. God never lets us down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He will let you be pushed to your limit, but not past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. Is that true? Is that true, church? And are we claiming that? Man, we face temptation every day, don't we? And some people even go back into their old life. You know, we face the temptation to give into our sinful nature, the temptation to compromise, the temptation to be lukewarm, the temptation to be overindulgent, to be deceitful, to be prideful, to give up, to shut down. But God says, look, there's a way out. Whenever we fall into sin, is not because there wasn't a way out. It's because we didn't take the way out. Because we didn't listen to God saying, get out. There's always a way out. And when God, He gives us warnings in His Word. Says you need to stay away from that. And we need to heed those warnings. Amen. God sends other people into our lives. You know, before David fell into sin with Bathsheba, the Bible says the man said to him, it doesn't say his name, but you go back and read it. There was a guy there who said, David, now wait a minute. Isn't this Uriah, the Hittite's wife? Isn't that? He was trying to help David. God sent him a messenger. He didn't listen. God gives us a conscience. Sometimes your own conscience tells you, no, don't do it. Don't say it. Don't go there. And we violate that conscience. That is God trying to help us to see the way out. Man, isn't that amazing that your God is so intimately involved in your everyday life that when you go through the trial, He opens a door and says, here's the way out. Here's the exit. Are you going to take it? Are you going to stay where you are? There's always a way out. We need to hold on to this promise. We need to memorize this promise. And then when we're facing the trial, you say, Lord, help me to take the way out that you are providing. Every time I've sinned, it's because I wanted to. Not because God didn't provide a way for me not to. Every time I've said something I shouldn't have said, wasn't because I couldn't control my tongue. It's because I did not listen to God telling me, shut up. Don't say it. Don't go there. Every time my eyes have wandered someplace they should not look, it's not because I cannot control them. It's because I did not listen to the Spirit of God saying, set your heart and mind on things above. He always provides a way out. There's no reason for us to stumble and fall if we continue to listen to the call of God, to the voice of God. Are you claiming this promise? Are you claiming this promise for your marriage? Singles, are you claiming this promise in your personal righteousness? If you're striving to be a disciple, why don't you claim this promise? Don't tell me you can't be a Christian. Don't tell me you can't live a righteous life. Listen to this promise. Claim this promise. God will be with you. His Spirit will live in you. And then finally, the last promise. Philippians 4. I ran into Lynn Clay and her mother at Marshall's. That's right. I shop at Marshall's sometimes. And she was asking me, what was the sermon going to be on? I said, it's going to be on the promises of God. And she says, well, why don't you share one of the promises with me? And this is what I shared. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Is that an awesome promise? Now, here is the condition. The promise is, number one, that God will give us a peace that transcends all understanding. The condition is, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Let me just add that in there. With thanksgiving, not with resentment, not with a bad attitude, but with thanksgiving. And if you're thankful on the inside, where do you see it? Where do you see it, church? So, who's thankful in here this morning? Is it evident on the outside? Do you look like you've been thankful, or do you look like you were baptized in vinegar? Which do you look like? He says, do not be anxious about anything. Let me ask you this morning, are you stressed? Are you overwhelmed? Are you worried about your health, about your finances, about your kids, about your future, about things which you have no control over? Are you worried about tomorrow when the Bible says don't even worry about tomorrow? What can you do about tomorrow? What can you do about yesterday? And live each day to the full. Sometimes as Christians, we're the ones, I got Jesus, I mean, I know God, but then we're the ones walking around like we've been beaten to death. Where's the joy? When's the last time you laughed? When's the last time you really smiled? And yet, we say we have treasures from heaven. Some people think that it's not spiritual to be happy. That you must look every day like you're carrying your cross. What is that? We should have the joy of the Lord should be our strength. Are you anxious? Are you afraid? Are you shaken? The psalmist says in Psalm 62, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. And let me tell you something. This is an amazing scripture. And all of us at one point in our lives, we're going to face a challenge. It's called death. Where without this promise, you will have no hope. God doesn't even want us to be fazed by death, because Jesus has already conquered death. And He says that we should have a peace that surpasses understanding. There's a sister in Harlem right now who is in hospice. Her name is Lynn Sherry. She's been in a wheelchair for the last few years, and every time I would go to the Harlem service, she always has a smile on her face. And she's not had all the things of the world in this life that many people look up to. It's been very challenging. But she's always smiling. She seems to always be at peace, to have that internal joy that no one can take away from her. Where does that come from? That comes from you knowing, believing, trusting, relying on, walking with the God who created the heavens and the earth, and your belief that as long as He is with you, you have no reason to fret or to worry or to be shaken, because you are in the palm of His hand. He does not lie. His every promise is true. And He's going to take care of you. He's going to pull you through. If you will just claim this promise to put your trust in Him, a peace that the world can't even relate to. Claim the promises of God. Claim them for your life. Claim them for your present. Claim them for your future. Claim them for your marriage. Claim the promises of God for your children. What God tells us, if we raise them in the fear of the Lord and in the instruction of the Lord, that when they're old, they won't turn away from what we have put in their hearts. Claim the promises of God for your life as a single. Claim His love. Claim His peace. Claim His hope. Claim His joy. Claim His wisdom. Claim His guidance. Claim His protection. Claim His strength. Claim His power. Claim His presence in your life. Claim those promises. And see if they won't become a reality in your everyday life. Every promise, the answer is yes. Are you claiming the promises of God? I pray that we will, and that they will be evident to God, and they will be evident to everyone around us, that our trust and our reliance is in the Lord God Almighty, who does not lie. God bless you.